listening to Veterans Voices Podcast. Guys, we got a really great show lined up for today. Now, this is a little different than we normally do. This is going to be a two-part show because it's such a large and interesting topic of discussion that we need to actually break this down into two episodes in order to cover everything. So we're recording here at the Slow Talk Podcast in Studio in California, and I'm Greg Arenas, your host.
And I'm your co-host, Brooke Ellis. Veterans Voices is a podcast series dedicated to veterans. We cover various topics, including PTS therapies, coping techniques, services for veterans, activities for veterans, and we're going to answer some of your guys' questions.
We have two special guests. Actually, we have one in the studio, and then by the magic of technology, we have one on the line. Ms. Carolyn McMacken and CW5 Chief Mary Hostler. Carolyn, with an MA and a DC, is the clinical director of the
Fibromyalgia,
the Micromyofascial Pain Clinic of Portland, Oregon. She developed frequency-specific microcurrent, FSM, in 1995 and began teaching those courses in 1997. In addition to maintaining a part-time clinical practice, she teaches seminars on the use of FSM in the United States, Australia, Europe, and the Middle East. She is the founder of the Frequency-Specific Microcurrent and the author of the Frequency-Specific Microcurrent in Pain Management and the Resonant Effect, and has authored 8 peer-reviewed papers. Mary is a retired United States Army Chief Warrant Officer who served for 40 years and is a predominant advocate of the same therapy. Can each of you kind of give us a brief introduction about yourself and microcurrent therapy?
It's nice to talk to you. I went to chiropractic college when I was 42 years old and graduated when I was 47. And my first year in practice, I got a list of frequencies from an osteopath who bought a practice in 1946 that came with a machine that was made in 1922. And that machine came with a list of frequencies. So in 1995, we started using those frequencies in my practice and found out they were really good for nerve and muscle pain. And then in 1999, we found out we could treat the spinal cord and nerve pain. And starting in about 2000, we started treating the brain and concussion. And the PTSD protocol that we're going to talk about was developed in 2005 by one of my students. So I've been in practice since 1995, 23 years, and I've been teaching since 1997, so that's 20
wow.
years.
Wow.
Hey, yeah, Chief, that's awesome.
Yeah, hey, Chief, how about you?
Well, hello, Greg and Brooke and Dr. Carol.
Yes.
I started my military career in 1976 mm-hmm. and joined the Army, primarily served the majority of my 40 years as an Army reservist and worked as a municipal police officer here. It started out in Ohio and then here in California. How I got involved with the frequency specific was injured and was dealing with some orthopedic issues. And they used frequency specific microcurrent on me for inflammation primarily. I was diagnosed to have a total knee replacement. I went 21 years without it. And when I deployed to Afghanistan in 2009 and 2010-11, I actually took a little miniature microcurrent with me.
Do they call those TENS machines? No, well, it's two completely different things. Or
I'm going to ask Carol to address that as soon mm-hmm. as I get finished, because the frequency specific microcurrent, I can say, is recognized as a TENS unit, but okay. we will. She can explain it better than I can. I only knew it as microcurrent. I never really understood frequency specific until a personal story involving a 14-year-old grandnephew who basically had a terrible accident riding a four-wheeler in Ohio and basically severed his windpipe.
Oh, my goodness.
And he survived, and he had basically his vocals were intact, but they were kind of frozen. He couldn't talk. And so I reached out to my frequency-specific practitioner in Monterey, California, mm-hmm. asked if there's a frequency. Anyways, long story short, connected the dots from Monterey to Dr. Macklin's website, where you can have a drop-down, put in a zip code, connect to a doctor at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio who gave treatments, and my nephew, after five treatments of frequency specifics, 75% of his vocals.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's amazing.
Wow. So in a nutshell, as a veteran who served 40 years in the military police field and then criminal investigations, when I retired, my nephew's story, I went to Cleveland and went through the training, and that's when I met Dr. Macklin. So I'll let her explain that question, Brooke, about...
Yeah, that's awesome. So you have seen the benefits of using this. You have witnessed...
I experienced the use without understanding it, because mm-hmm. we often go to be treated for medical conditions and we don't really understand them because we're not trained. But I know microcurrent. The microcurrent I was actually using in Afghanistan was not frequency, but microcurrent. Frequency was being used on me locally. I didn't understand it. So when I actually learned about it through my nephew, then it's been a different world.
Well, I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah. So, hey, Carolyn, we've kind of known each other for a little while, read your book. Can you give us an overview, kind of a step-by-step explanation of what microcurrent therapy is and how this can help other service members?
Microcurrent as a device was introduced in the U.S. and pretty much worldwide in the 1970s. The current is 1,000 times less than TENS current, so you can't feel it. It's the same kind of current your body produces on its own. So if you put a meter on your body from your head to your feet, there's a current flow that your cells and nervous system and circulation produce. So you make current, but it's in micro amperage. So micro is millionths of an amp, and it's 1,000 times less current than TENS. However, when they introduced microcurrent in the 1970s, the FDA didn't know where to put it because, well, it's current and it has batteries, so it must be a TENS. And the manufacturers had it approved by the FDA as substantially equivalent to a TENS device, even though it's not even any place in any way at all the related to a TENS. But that's how you could get approval for less than $3 or $4 million. It's like, okay. So it was the least expensive way to get it approved.
Mm-hmm.
And the early uses, up until I started in the 90s, the late 90s, the early uses were all just running the current. So the current by itself, when it was studied in animal cultures and animal models and then in humans, starting in 1982, the current by itself with just like 0.3 of a hertz to give you enough movement to move the current from one place to another would increase energy production in the cells in rat skin by 500%. And then that number was duplicated in 2001 and 2002. So that's three studies over 20 years, completely different researchers finding exactly the same things. So just the addition of the current flow increases the amount of energy your cells have to operate by five times.
Wow.
And then, yeah, and then in tissue repair, so in new injuries,
mm-hmm.
In athletes and service members and whoever, it increases protein synthesis, which is what the body used to repair itself, and it increases transport, sort of the building blocks across the membrane into the cells. So it helps with tissue repair, but that's just the current. The frequencies, I just got a list with names. So there's a frequency for inflammation, which was 40. Well, we assumed it was to reduce inflammation, not cause it. And so I used the frequencies on this list, like the frequency for nerve trauma, 94 hertz, and the frequency for dissolving scar tissue is 13. And then there was frequencies for all sorts of tissues. How they developed them in 1920, 1917, 1922, where the frequencies came from, I don't know. All that has been lost. In 1934, the American Medical Association said that anybody that used electromagnetic therapies, so frequencies, nutrition, herbs, homeopathy, anything except drugs and surgery, anybody that used those methods would lose their license. So all of the machines went in the back room and got covered up by a sheet, or they got thrown out, or the research was lost. The practitioners and the researchers all died off. So I have no way to know how some medical doctor in 1918 decided that 89 hertz was the frequency for the midbrain. I just had to give that up because there's no way to know. So my only role in the last 23 years has been to look at the list, use what I know about medicine. So it's Dr. McMakin. In Oregon, chiropractors are not just crunchers. Oregon chiropractors are licensed, have very broad scope of practice. I can't prescribe prescription drugs, but I can prescribe over-the-counter drugs. I can't do major surgery, but I'm licensed to do minor surgery and deliver babies and do breast exams and pap smears, and I'm trained to do all that. So it's like 4 years of school. It's a thing. So anyway, so I'm treating patients in my practice and started using this and found out, wow, this really works. Some 22-year-old with rheumatoid arthritis walks in and her knee is the size of a grapefruit. And 45 minutes later, yeah, it's the size of an orange. I mean, it reduces in that frequency to reduce inflammation, reduces inflammation. So over the years, we've just used it for more and more things. So the current itself has all sorts of uses. But the frequency specific part got lost in 1934 and got resurrected in 1995. And we've been teaching it and using it and collecting, I wouldn't say data. I've got very little actual what we would consider data, but we've got thousands of anecdotes, thousands of success stories, like Mary's nephew, and the doctors at Cleveland Clinic are using it in pediatric rehab, in ADD, ADHD, PTSD, complex regional pain syndrome, a little bit of work with autism, torticollis. They've been using it for 5 years over there. And there are 3,700 practitioners worldwide.
Wow. I was going to say, have they used any of this for quadriplegics or anybody with a traumatic injury in their spinal column yet?
Yes. How to put this? I can't put tissue back that's not there.
Yes. So, I have a cousin who was in a car accident, and he is now paralyzed from the sternum down. A young guy when this happened, but his spinal column wasn't severed. It was just damaged, severely damaged. So what I've been hearing you say is maybe there might be hope to use this in...
Part of the problem in that kind of spinal cord injury is that when the vertebra gets broken or when the spinal cord gets inflamed, when it swells up, the little tiny wires, the tiny tracks in the spinal cord, when they swell, they get taken sideways. It's called shearing. Mm-hmm. So those tracks that are broken, I can't put back in. We have some success in paraplegics with reducing the pain that they get. So he will have pain usually from the level of the spinal cord injury down.
Yes, he's in a lot of pain.
Yeah, and that pain is basically, it's like phantom limb pain to your spinal cord. So that pain we have some luck with. It's not 100%. I have never successfully started having muscle control. It's if it's an incomplete spinal cord injury and it's early, we have pretty good luck. If it's complete and we're more than literally 2 weeks out, we can help with the pain, but that's about it, I'm afraid. I can't put tissue back that's not there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, Carol, I went to your website and there is so much information for our listeners to go through. Are there some specific highlighted points that you would direct them to if they're interested?
Probably the FAQ, frequently asked questions. That's the best, most straightforward, clearest explanation. The videos, so we have an introductory webinar that is on YouTube, Complex Regional Pain Syndrome. There's an hour and 14-minute video about me fixing that in somebody. And then it was 13 years chronic, and he was completely out of pain, and it was permanent in an hour and 15 minutes.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, that is awesome.
Probably the other fun thing is the new book, The Resonance Effect. It's an easy read, and it takes you along how FSM developed a little bit at a time, because I literally stumbled across almost everything that it's good for. Somebody would come in with something and go, well, I have a frequency for that. I wonder how that works. So we found out that body pain caused by inflammation in the spinal cord, which is about 50% of fibromyalgia patients, that responds to 40 hertz on channel A and 10 hertz on channel B. That's probably our best documented paper. But spasticity in the lower extremities caused by inflammation and injury in the motor pathways of the spinal cord, you can get rid of the spasticity and the tone, even in somebody with mild cerebral palsy, by running the frequency to increase secretions in the spinal cord. Well, it took me 10 years to figure that out. And so it's all been trial and error and experience. And then it turns out that if it works 3, 4, 5, 10 times and it's safe and we don't see any problems with it, then I teach it. And then people like Mary go out and they use it and find out, oh, that works. And then after 2 to 5 years, they come back and they lecture at our event every other year called the Symposium. So there's practitioner case reports from all over the world. We have a physical therapist coming from France. We have a naturopath coming from Germany. We have practitioners from Australia and the UK and kind of all over the U.S. coming to this event. They present case reports. Then other students find out what they're doing. So Dr. Burke, the doctor at Cleveland Clinic that fixed your nephew's trachea, has been doing research on ADD and ADHD for 3 years.
So there's a lot of research. There's a lot of research on this being done, right?
Well, if you talk to a skeptic or a medical doctor, there are no control trials because nobody's getting rich off this. The devices are relatively inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of experience. So we have, like, literally hundreds and hundreds of case reports.
Okay.
But Dr. Burke's data has not been published, and there's not a control group. So, yes, we have 20 years worth of case reports and experience and protocols that are useful in different conditions. So there's one of our practitioners who works at a military base, and she sees special ops soldiers that are going overseas or being deployed, and they take the programmable frequency-specific unit called a custom care. They take a custom care with them that is programmed for them, for the kind of injuries they're likely to see, soft tissue, fractures, concussions, spine, nerves, discs, back pain, neck pain. Almost everybody I saw when I worked on the base had low back pain. like oh, a yeah, very big
patch. That's typical in the military, right, Mary?
Same military, policing, firefighters, all first type of responders.
Yeah, exactly.
The belts that the police, so I had police officers that were my patients. And one guy came in uniform, and I picked up his belt. It's like, Jesus, how do you wear this?
Mm-hmm.
So some of the older guys would have suspenders, but that's too sissy for the younger ones. So they're all carrying 35 pounds of gear on their waist.
Not today, Carl. Like, they're not today. They're wearing them.
Hey, Mary, I got a question for you.
Sure.
So you've had some stories about your family and so forth. You're also doing research on this. So one of my questions is what do you see as the keys of success for SFM?
Because I'm a retired and I wear this little pen here that I'm holding that says retired soldier for life, I care about veterans. And because I've worked in the law enforcement field, I still do. We all are faced with post-traumatic stress. And so my goal is to somehow help by connecting the dots with people. And my willingness is to, at least in the Monterey Bay area, if there's veterans out there that are interested to help try it and allow the collection of data to try to help Dr. Macklin in publishing, that's my goal.
Okay.
That's what I see. A modality that's rather successful and can ask.
Let's say we have some listeners that are like, you know what? This is something that I am willing to try. I'm willing to go. How do they get a hold of you? How can our listeners who are suffering with PTS or maybe lower back pain, how can they get a hold of you so they can try this out?
For the Monterey, California area where I live, they could just email me.
Okay.
But I'll let Carol talk about how, if they're all over the country, because my understanding of Veterans Voices covers.
Oh, yeah. We got.
I mean, we've got veterans everywhere that listen to this, and we're hoping we can get people connected through this podcast to people like you guys who are going to help them. So this is awesome.
What's your email address, Mary?
Mentor, you spell it mentor, CW5HOS@gmail.com. So.
Okay, so that'll take care of the local area in California. And then
in Monterey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the FSM website is frequency specific all lowercase. And there is a find a practitioner spot on that website. And the practitioners that are on there, they're either brand new, so they get the first year for free, or they have subscribed, so their information should be correct. There is literally every medical specialty from massage therapist to acupuncturist, physical therapist, occupational therapist, MDs, medical doctors, chiropractors, naturopaths, nurse practitioners, nurses, and there's just a really wide range of different types of practitioners. So when you check the website to find a practitioner, call them, make sure that they're comfortable treating whatever you have. They've all been through at least my 3 or 4 day course, and some of them have been to our advanced courses and have taken extra training in different topics. The PTS protocol has been taught since 2005, and it is unattended.
This is something I want to do. I want to take the course.
Can I?
This sounds awesome.
May I comment on the website also?
Yeah.
The drop-down, I think you put in your zip code.
Okay.
So actually how I connected to Dr. Burke is kind of funny because I put in my nephew's zip code in Worcester, Ohio, and there was a practitioner, not Dr. Burke, that popped up like 20 miles from the kid's house.
Wow.
And I spoke with her. Now, she had just gotten trained, but she works with animals, Amish horses.
Okay.
Seriously.
Well, yeah.
She told me about Dr. Burke.
Okay.
which was perfect because he's a pediatrician out of the Cleveland Clinic, and my nephew's 14. So, I mean, it was a perfect example, but the microcurrents used on animals also.
Yeah.
About this time in the episode, what we like to do is go to our listener base because it's actually really growing. And we dive into our social media on our websites and so forth. And we get a lot of questions and emails. So to either one of you that want to jump in and answer this, one of the questions, listeners' questions was, I did some research when I heard about technological-based therapy. And I just have fears about that. What would you say to this person?
Well, I'm not sure what technological-based therapies means, but in general, it involves gadgets and the application of gadgets. And the companies that sell the devices and the people that use the devices have to be fairly vague about what they say about how the device works, and that's because of FDA regulations. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of them are simply non-specific. They do what they do. They are have all been safe or effective, or they wouldn't be out there. And with FSM, I guess, if you're generally afraid of technology, then it's probably not the therapy you want to do. If you're willing to try it based on the fact that nobody's ever been hurt with it that we know about. And that's, we've got hundreds of thousands, if not millions of patient hours around the world. So nobody's ever been hurt by it that we know about.
Yeah. And
you can't steal the current.
Right. And I think, you know, with our listener base and all that, obviously it's a two-part show because all we've done right now is just kind of scratch the surface, talked a little bit about history. And then in our next episode that we'll be doing later, we can really get into the meat and bones of it. You know, what is the therapy? What happens? What happens to these people? Because I don't want this listener to just, you know, turn off right now and say, okay, I'm afraid of it. She says, don't go. No, hold on. We're going to get into more depth
in
the next one. Mm-hmm. So with that, Carolyn, Mary, thanks for coming. Really enjoyed having you guys as guests on the show. And Brooke, I think that about wraps it up for us.
Well, this has been Veterans Voices Podcast with yours truly, Brooke Ellis.
And Greg Arenas. What we achieve inwardly will change outer reality. That being said, there are two types of days, good and better, and we hope that we have made yours better. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you.